Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. And amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Good evening, everybody. Amen. My name is Adedayo Babalola. And tonight we are going on a teaching, right, that we have titled Letter to My Son, David. And the subtitle is Don't Overestimate Yourself. Amen. All right, just before we teach tonight, I want to encourage you to share this with somebody. I personally believe that as you do, somebody will be blessed. Praise the Lord. They will be changed. They will be transformed. Amen and amen and amen. All right. Yeah, just I'm going to share it with somebody as well so that they can all be blessed. And then we would go ahead and we would pray. Let's pray tonight. Father, we believe and receive wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. We are edified and your name is glorified in Jesus' mighty name. And your spirit has a free course in our midst. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Praise God. We are looking at this teaching that we have titled, Letter to My Son, David. This is part 6. Do not overestimate yourself. I want to encourage you to go into all the other teachings. They will be a blessing to you. Right? And then we will start off in the book of Timothy, which is where we get our teaching from. Right? It's the book of 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy. We are going to be reading 1 Timothy chapter 3. We are reading verse 15. I'll start from verse 14. 1 Timothy 3, 14. These things I write unto you, hoping to come to you shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how to behave thyself in the house of truth, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. So, the church is the government of God. It is the operation center of God. And God will want every believer to be in a local church. And not just that, when you are part of a local church, God wants you to know how to behave as a believer. Right? That's what we have been emphasizing for a while now. And the Bible says here that you are instructed on how to behave. Meaning how to behave is not something you assume. How to behave is something you are instructed on. So a believer after salvation needs instruction to know how to behave. Praise God. It says that you know how that you ought to behave in the house of God, the pillar and the ground of truth. So every believer is to be in a local church. In a local church, you are then instructed to know how to behave. Why do we have believers that are not trained and discipled? Believers that are not trained and discipled is because some would find themselves in the local church and some choose not to be in the local church. One way or the other, God's will and God's plan is that everybody is in a local church and they are being discipled, they are being trained, right? Because the Bible says here, there is a way we ought to behave. Right, you know, so it is in the local church you learn prayer, you learn fasting, you learn reading, you learn the love walk. Praise God. The local church is where you learn how to love on one another. I always tell people, right, one of the greatest things that you can have is have a local church where we they practice God's word. Right, amen. Praise God. In a local church where they practice God's word, it is safety for you. Praise God. How do I know this? Look at the example of the book of Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12, the Bible says that Paul was put in jail, right? Paul was put in jail, and then they were going to kill him the next day. But Acts 12, verse 6, it says, and prayer was made without ceasing for Peter by the church, right? So, and then the Bible says, to the response of their prayer, angels were sent. Upon angels being sent, Peter was delivered. The point is, Peter could have died if not for the church that prayed for him. So I always tell believers, having been in a place where you know that they are praying for you, it is security for you. It's wisdom. You should be part of a community. It's part of God's will, right? You know, it's very, very important. Even look at Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1 talks about a supply of the Spirit. Look at Philippians chapter 1, right? Look at verse 19. It's Philippians 1:19. I hope you're writing down. Amen. Praise God. It says, "For I know that this shall turn to my salvation." Right? Paul was talking from a point of knowledge. Epignosis is an awareness. He's very, very sure. I always tell people, if you're in a place where which they are praying for you, there are some things you can boast about. So Paul is in prison. He's in prison at the moment. That's why a lot of people don't understand the ministry of the local church. That's why the Bible is written the way the Bible is written. Paul is in prison, and Paul says something here. Paul says, "For I know." This man is in prison, but he's writing. He's saying, "For I know that this shall turn to my salvation." That word salvation is the word sozo in this original rendering in the applicable context. The word salvation there is deliverance. "This shall turn to my deliverance." So Paul was in a problem. He was in a situation. He's being jailed. He said, "I know that I will be rescued, because I have a people praying for me." Amen. Are you getting that? Look at it. He says, "For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer." What is your prayer? I mean, the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. So the fact that, you know, we have the Spirit does not particularly mean much if there will not be people that will emphasize the supply of the Spirit. Right? And in the local church, you learn it. That's the point. And I said all of that to say, you know, you should, Paul is writing to them, say, you should know how to behave in the house of God. Right, which is the ground and player of truth. And I just pick prayer as an example. Prayer as an example. You know, in praying, right, we have a corporate covering on everybody. Praise God. A corporate covering on everybody in the local church, because men pray. Praise God. And as we give ourselves to prayer, like that, for example, we realize that we can actually stifle, we can choke, we can grieve the devil, in that we'll ensure that his operation and his plan is thwarted. Right? Praise God. Hallelujah. It's very, very important. But we must know these things. And where do we learn these things? We learn them right in the local church. Right? Praise God. But I want to take you on a journey tonight, because I've titled this one, "Do Not Overestimate Yourself." And I'm talking to a believer. Right? Look at, and I'm going to be telling, we're going to be looking at the book of 1 Kings. But before we go into 1 Kings, we want to look at the book of Romans. Romans chapter 15. Romans 15. Look at verse 4. Romans 15:4. It says, "Whatsoever things were written aforetime," that will be between Genesis to Malachi. And I've said to you many, many times, a believer is not one that says, I don't read the Old Testament because I'm a New Testament believer. That's not true. Amen. Praise God. That is not true. Look at here. He says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime," they were written for our learning, our instruction, right? So that through that we, so it was written for us, that we, through patience and comfort of scriptures, might have hope. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So it says here that the things in the Old Testament were written for our learning. So believer, please understand that in the Old Testament, we are going to find things on there that we are to learn from. And today we're going to be looking at such a one. We're going to be looking at the book of 1 Kings. I'm going to start off with the story of Solomon, because the teaching is, do not overestimate yourself. 1 Kings chapter 3. 1 Kings 3. I'll be reading 1 Kings 3, verse 3. Okay, are you there? 1 Kings 3, verse 3. "And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David, his father. Only he sacrificed and burnt incense in high places." Right? So, in verse 3, we see very clearly here that Solomon loved the Lord. Don't forget that. Right? In fact, in verse 5, it tells us, "In Gibeon, the Lord appeared." In fact, let's look at verse 4, just for context. "And the king went," that's Solomon that loved the Lord, "he went to Gibeon to sacrifice, for there was a great high place. He went to sacrifice 1,000 burnt offerings on the altar unto the Lord." Like we always say, wherever you find lovers, they will be what? Givers. Wherever you find people that love, they will give. So Solomon loved the Lord. The next thing you will see is that Solomon is a giver. So what does Solomon do? Solomon, not even following the law of Moses or any particular instruction, Solomon was a lover of God that he actually offered 1,000 burnt offerings in worship unto the Lord. It's something to see there. It is to see that lovers are givers. When you find a lover, there will be no problem with giving. Amen. Praise God. That's not the emphasis, but it's important. Solomon loved the Lord. Verse 3. Verse 4. Solomon gave 1,000 burnt offerings unto the Lord. Now, this is outstanding stuff. As a matter of fact, if you're a sinner, guess what? You are meant to offer one bull, one for your sins. Do you get the point? Now, this guy, in that he loves the Lord, because you need to understand the context, he offers 1,000. Nobody told him to. It is just him loving on the Lord. Do you understand that? And that is why, personally, I always tell people, when people are always discussing money and acting like, you know what, when it comes to giving to the Lord, it's like it's a problem. Sometimes it's a symptom of a deeper root. Even in the Old Testament, when the Spirit of God was not living in people, they would say, Solomon loved the Lord and he gave 1,000 burnt offerings. His mind was with God. That's the point. When the mind of somebody is with somebody or something, he gives to the person. You never find a stingy lover anywhere. If someone says they love you and they are stingy towards you, it's a lie. Amen. The Bible shows it. Jesus so shows it. You see there? John. Okay. For God so loved the world. What else do you see next? That he gave. So when you find stingy people, you are not dealing with lovers. Lovers and give. No, not all givers are lovers, but all lovers will give. It's very important. Not all givers are lovers, because some people give out of a wrong motive. But anyone that is a lover, one of the fruits, natural fruits you find with the person, is that the person is a giver, right? Regardless of what is happening, the person is a giver. Look at it there. Amen. Look at verse 4. It says he offered 1,000 burnt offerings. Remember, you should only really offer one. Even according to the law of Moses, he said, come and offer one. Praise God. This guy offers for your sins. He offers 1,000. Look at verse 5. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. Right? Look at it here. After this man offers to the Lord appears to him. Now, the Lord appears to him, right, to talk to him, right, as it were, the king of Israel. But the point I want you to notice here is that Solomon was a very great lover of God. But guess what? Something happens to Solomon. That's why we are looking at it. And we're looking at, don't overestimate yourself. It's a very short teaching, because it's soon I end. But I want you to get the point. 1 Kings 11 verse 1. 1 Kings 11 verse 1. You know, we started off with 1 Kings 3. Solomon loved the Lord. You know, look at 11. But Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughters of Pharaoh, among women of the Moabites, the Ammonites, the Edomites, the Zidonites, and the Hittites. Solomon had an association problem. So the first thing we see with Solomon is the fact that Solomon disobeyed God's word. God told Solomon, bro, you are not, according to the law of Moses, it was an instruction. You don't marry outside your clan. The reason why God said don't marry outside the clan was because the people, if they didn't marry outside of their clan, the people that they are marrying were idol worshippers, and they will lead them away from God. That's what happens. You see, that's why the believer that loves the Lord is to hold God's word in high esteem. If not, he'll be led astray. And that's what happens to David, Solomon here. Solomon was told, Do not marry people from outside. Solomon was instructed, do not go and buy horses from Egypt. All these things Solomon broke. But before we get there, go back to 1 Kings 3. 1 Kings 3, verse 1. I want to show you how good people turn bad. It's always the law of association. And you will not believe what a good man can do associating with the wrong person or having the wrong people around you or intentionally or breaking the word of God. Amen. Look at 1 Kings 3, verse 1. And Solomon made affinity with Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and took Pharaoh's daughter and brought her into the city, unto the city of David, until he had made an end of building his own house and the house of God and the wall of Jerusalem round about. Now, the book of Deuteronomy already told them that, see, listen, don't marry from outside. But he breaks the law here. Now, look at what the women and the influence of these people, look at what they did to him. This is Solomon that built the house of God. This one was a lover of God. We saw his loving in the fact that he gave. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He gave 1,000 burnt offerings. This is like a believer today. A burning believer. A believer on fire for Jesus. Look at now. 1 Kings 11 verse 1. So, the lover can be derailed by the instruction he chooses not to follow. Amen. But King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughters of Pharaoh, women of Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonites, and Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, you shall not go into them. Neither, are you here? Neither shall they come into you. God said it. Amen. He said it. For surely, this is the problem, they will turn your heart away after other gods. But Solomon clave unto this in love. Are you hearing what's going on here? God had already said it. That is why the greatest thing, the biggest thing you can do is that you simply take heed to the word of God. The word of God is the highest level of revelation. I'll say it again. Write it down. The word of God is the highest level of revelation. There are always simple instructions. When people then say, no, it's just an instruction. That's how they get into trouble without knowing. Look at the book of Proverbs, chapter 4. Proverbs 4. I want to read something there in verse 13. It says, take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Amen. Praise God. Did you see that? Instructions. Simple instructions. This kingdom is by simple instructions. It's always simple instructions that if the lover does not follow, even the lover will be derailed. Amen. Simple instructions. Look at Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Very important there. Psalm 119. Look at verse 9. And we also read verse 11. Psalm 119, verse 9. This kingdom, the highest level of revelation is the word of God. Meaning, if an angel is here and you have the word of God is the highest form of revelation. That's why you take it importantly. Look at verse 9. Wherefore shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to the word. You see it there? By doing what? Taking heed according to the word. Look at verse 11. Thy word have I hid in my heart. You don't need to wonder about sin. Just hide the word of God in your heart. Your mind will walk away from sin. It says that I might not sin against thee. Is there? Psalm 119 verse 11. But this is a man who loved the Lord but did not hearken to the instructions of the Lord. We go back to 1 Kings 11. It says, we are now in verse 2. It says, Solomon clave unto this in love. We started off in verse chapter 3. Solomon loved the Lord. Solomon gave 1,000 burnt offerings. By chapter 11, Solomon loved strange women. and he clave unto strange women. Look at verse 3. And Solomon had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. Do you see that? It is with the heart we serve the Lord. This man loved the Lord. He got instructions from his father, David. He was loving the Lord. He was giving to the Lord. He was doing all those things with the Lord. Then he overlooked the simple instructions in the law that said, do not go after women of another country. It's not about, we're not talking marriage or relationship with marriage. We're talking about how associations affect the heart. Now this man, so as a believer, be careful of your association. As a minister, be careful of your association. You can start as a minister of the gospel, actually preaching God's word, and then you mix with the wrong people and you become covetous. And through covetousness, you will make merchandise of men because of association. This is what we're talking about today. That's why don't overestimate yourself. Don't think you are too big, you can never do something. No. If you have the influence to that direction consistently, you will. That's why we said don't overestimate yourself. Amen. Look at it here. Solomon loved the Lord. And before you know it, Solomon loved many strange women. And then the Bible says these people, they turned his heart. How is it possible for a lover of God to be a one whose heart was turned away from the Lord? It wasn't that Solomon wanted to hate the Lord. It was that his influence turned his heart from the Lord. When you have 700 women around you with different gods, my brother, your heart will turn. And you have 300 concubines. You have 1,000 human beings around you. Amen. Right, with different idiosyncrasies, different philosophies, psychological slants, whom by nature of the how they are, you will want to please them. My brother, your heart will turn. The point is, don't overestimate your heart. Man is a being of influence. What is around you will influence you. This is something you must know. There is a kind of exposure that you can even expose yourself to. So for some people, it's not human beings. For some people, it's social media. There's some things you will see on there. It will turn your heart from the Lord if you expose yourself to it too much. Look at it here, which you must learn. It's a wisdom. It says, right? And this woman turned their heart from the Lord. Look at verse 4. For it came to pass, when Solomon was old, that his wives turned away his heart to other gods. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord, as was the heart of his father. And Solomon went after. Listen, the heart in chapter 3 was pursuing after God. He gave 1,000 burnt offering. Do you know what it means? They ask you for one, you drop 1,000. That was how he was. So don't see, I'm saying to you, your mind is not loyal to you. Your mind is loyal to your associations. Your mind is loyal to where you put your ears. Your mind is loyal to people around you. Your mind is not loyal to you. Your mind is loyal to the information around you. That is why the Bible will tell you. I'm going to link it up for you. Colossians. We're going to come back there. Colossians. Because we'll soon be rounding off anyway. Colossians. Amen. Colossians, are you there? Look at Colossians 3 verse 1. Your mind is not loyal to you. Don't think your mind is on your side. Your mind is not on your side. Your mind does not like you. Your mind does not hate you. Your mind is just your mind. It's an empty box. It's based on what you put in it. Your mind can like somebody else more than it likes you. It depends. If you put so much of information of another person in your heart, your mind will like the other person more than you. Your mind does not care about you. You must understand that your mind is not partial. Your mind is not biased. Your mind is empty. So you're loving the Lord. It's an intentional thing that you wire your mind towards. Look at it in Colossians 3, verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ. So this is talking to believers. They are already risen with Christ. The Bible then says you are the one that will seek those things which are above, where Christ seated at the right hand of God. You are the one that will seek it. So in 1 Kings 3, we could say Solomon was seeking the Lord. In seeking the Lord, we see him give to the Lord. He would worship. The Bible says he would go and worship. Right? Look at verse 2. But then later, he gets around wrong people. 1,000 wrong people. We'll see what happened at the end of Solomon. Right? Later, you start hearing vanity is vanity. All is vanity. It starts to ramp. Right? Yeah? What happens? That's what you become after 1,000 women around you. You will become a rapper. You will just be talking like a philosopher. But look at verse 2. Set your affections on things above. Look at it there. Set. Who does it? Do you know the meaning of setting? Right? When I was growing up, we used to have these things called transistor radios. Right? You know, in fact, I have it in my car right now. It was just that it's a little automated. You know, there are many frequencies on for the airwaves. But when you want to get to, in those days, I used to listen to, is it 96.9 or 100.5? So I take the transistor and we start to set it until we get to 100.5. We do the setting. If we wanted to enjoy what was going on that radio station, we are the ones that have to set it. The radio station is already on 24/7. But if I will enjoy what is on that radio station frequency, I have to tune to it. It's not about any other thing, or it's not about does the radio station like me or not. No, it's about me tuning. I will tune to it. It's the same thing. That's what we are learning tonight. Look at Colossians 3. If ye then be risen with the Lord, right? So you're born again, right? It now says, set your affections, seek those things. Verse 2, set your affection on those things above. So you are the one that will set your affections. Brother, a question is coming to your heart. Oh, Pastor Daya, how can I honestly set my affections on the Lord? Number one, you set your affections on the Lord by fellowshipping in His Word. Somebody says God speaks to me and his Bible is closed. You're a joker. No, you will set affection by reading His Word. Being passionate about understanding it. It's not just a few nuggets here and there. It's not just, you know what, it's not about putting the Bible under your pillow. No, it's much more about putting the Bible in your heart. Amen. Praise God. That's how you set your affections. What you give attention to, you have affection towards. Hey, did you hear what I just said? Walking with the Lord is not as difficult as what people think. Walking with the Lord is about setting your affection. Amen. And setting your affection is simply giving attention. Setting your affection is like nurturing a relationship. Spending time. You know, for example, if you're in a relationship and you want the relationship to blossom, you will be picking up your phone and calling the person. Texting the person. Sending the person pictures. Asking how is your day. You don't just keep me. Even though you are married, it's the same thing. We are married to Christ, but our relationship with Him is a function of our activity. Imagine you're married to somebody. You don't call, you don't text, you don't relate, you don't see, you sleep in different rooms, you don't talk all throughout the day, you don't relate, you don't do anything. Is regardless of that legal document that says you're married, you are just living in the same home, you don't have a relationship, you don't know what's in the person's mind, because you get to know what's on the person's mind through fellowship. You know what fellowship is? So for example, right, you can tell what is on a person's mind that you spend time with. You do know that in spending time with somebody, you can now predict. Right, in knowing somebody, you can predict. You know, for example, if somebody slapped somebody over there, I can say, it's not my wife. My wife does not slap people. Why? It's from fellowship. It's not from prediction. It's not a gift of the Spirit. It's knowledge. It's knowing. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's not from. It's just like, for example, they said, somebody just woke up and there was a mark on his face. It's the slap of somebody. I know it's not God. Right? Why? Because I know Him in His Word. And I know He doesn't slap people and leave mark there. Right? You know, that's fellowship. Relationship. How did it happen? It's intentional. You will go into that Word. You will go there. Into the Word of God. You know, there are a lot of people that do a lot of things for love. Right? We are lovers of God. The love of God is on the inside of us. But we just have to be intentional. We'll set our affections. So nothing is going to come on you. There is nobody in the world today that something came on him and that's why he loves God more than you. No, you will see people, they will give themselves to Bible study, like I just said. They will give themselves to prayer. Number two, if you're writing. Number three, they will give themselves to talking to other people about God. You can call it evangelism or discipleship. That's how you build fellowship. Amen. Praise God. You will give yourself to prayer, to the word, to evangelism, meaning to talking to other people about him. You give yourself to meditation. These four things, you'll be on fire for the Lord. Let me put one more. Give yourself to singing. That's what the Bible says. Setting your heart on the Lord. Amen. I can add another one. Give to the things of God. Because the Bible says, where your treasure is, your heart is, where your heart is, your treasure is. That's how to set your affection on the things of God. See, if you work hard and you make money and you take that money and put it in the things of God, by function of the way man is made up, your attention will be on that place you put your money. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Whatever you want to put attention on that you think your attention is not there, put your money there. Your attention will be there. Amen. Praise God. But let's go back again. So we have seen set your affections on the Lord. You know, I told you, the service is almost over. Look at 1 Kings 11, right? Look at verse 5. For Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess. Would you have ever thought of the Sidonians? And after Milcom, the abomination of the Amorites. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord. Imagine, a lover of God becomes one that is doing evil. Don't say it's not possible. It can never be me. Well, that's Solomon for you. No, it's influence. He will not set his heart on. Setting your heart is a consistent thing you do. It's not something that's like, oh, well, in 1994, this message, I get it. I used to do this in 1994. No, it's a continuous thing. It's not even something about last year. Oh, last year, I used to set my heart on the Lord. Oh, but you know the way it is, right? Right? Life has just happened. You know how things are. We don't know how things are. Amen? Praise God. We don't know. Amen? Don't think we know. Amen? Praise God. Look at it. It says in verse 7. Look at what Solomon did in verse 7. Can you believe? Then Solomon built a high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem. Oh my God. And for Molech, the abomination of the children of Ammon. And likewise he did for all strange wives, which burned incense and sacrifices unto the gods. Solomon built 700 shrines. My God, could you believe this? If they told you Solomon of chapter 3, who was burning offerings to God on the in the high place, rolling on the floor, saying, oh my God, my lover, and he's crying. Would you believe that man would do this kind of thing? Build 700. Look at it. This is someone that God appeared to. This man is not the one we are dealing with in verse 9. Solomon 11:9. And the Lord was angry with Solomon because of his heart was turned against the Lord. This God that had appeared to him two times. My God. Two times. So God had appeared to him two times. But he was living with 1,000 women. Even the presence of God, the appearance of God two times, is not compared to 1,000 women. Do you understand? I am trying to say to you that don't overestimate yourself. Don't think your mind is on your side. You are the one that will set your affections on the Lord. Remember, the things that are written, they are written for your learning. That through the patience of Scripture, we have hope. When you read Solomon, what are you to learn? You are to learn that your association matters. What is around you matters. You are to learn that it doesn't matter the fact that you love the Lord. If you don't stay there, setting your affections on the Lord, things can change. Yeah. And you will do things for evil. You will do things against God's plan and God's purpose. And people will be wondering, what? Yes. Why? Your mind is not low. That's why, as a believer, fill your mind with the truth. Look for strategies to ensure you fill your mind with the truth. Listen to tapes. Listen to messages. Listen to songs. Set your affections on the things of God. You have to be intentional about it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Right? Hallelujah. The second point I have for you tonight. You know, I'm talking about, don't overestimate yourself. I'm talking about associations and your mind. That's what I've spoken about so far. right? I'm going to show you, right? Because we are talking about, don't overestimate yourself. What do I do, right? When my heart is heavy, when I am in a situation that I am concerned, things are tough. What do I do? Look at Philippians. Philippians chapter 4. Amen. Philippians chapter 4. Look at verse 6. It says there, be careful for nothing. That is the word anxious. The word anxious. It says, be careful, be anxious for nothing. So, nothing. There is nothing in the Christian life that is a good reason to stay anxious. I'm not saying you cannot start off anxious. I'm talking about staying anxious. You know the Bible, Jesus speaking, says that no one through worry can add a cubit to his life. So God, Jesus is saying there is no need to worry. Jesus even says, instead of worrying, consider. That, you know, which we're going to look at today. He says, why are you worrying? You cannot decommit to your life. Consider the ravens. You know, a lot of people worry a lot. What's going to happen to my tomorrow? What's going to happen to my today? Will I marry? Will I make it? Will I not make it? What's going to happen to my life? What's going to happen to my destiny? What happened to my mom? What happened to my dad? What happened to my kids? Will I have kids? Will I have this? Will I have that? God says, instead of using your brain like that, use your brain differently. He said, instead of worrying, consider the lilies of the field. He said, Solomon in all their glory is not actually beautified like these ones. He now says, O ye of little faith. He says, if God could clothe the lilies, which are here today, and they are gone tomorrow, will he not clothe you, O ye of little faith? He says, instead of wondering, instead of bothering, you know, a lot of people do this. And Jesus comes and he first clothes us. He clothes us with the garment of righteousness. Amen. By dying for us on the cross and being raised. And now we have the robe. Isaiah calls it the robe of righteousness. We have been clothed by God. Not only that. Even in our earthly walk, we have been encouraged not to give in to anxiety. What do I do if I'm not to be anxious? I am to use my thought life to consider. Meaning, look at other things. Let me give you a little secret that helps your heart. Have milestones. Right? Do you know what milestones are? Write about the goodness of God. It will help you. You know, a lot of us go through life. So when troubles happen, it looks like, where has God been? But write milestones. Meaning places, things that God has done for you. The songwriter said, count your blessing and name them one by one. A lot of us are territorial. We are territorial complainers. We are wallowing in the theater of ungratefulness because of our mindsets. Because we don't keep milestones. That is why the children of Israel, right, they are being told, when Joshua was going to pass the Jordan, after he passed the Jordan, the Lord told Joshua, tell your men to go into that water and pick up stones from inside the water. Joshua was like, why? He said, so that in years to come, and take that stone with you everywhere you go, so that in years to come, when your children ask you, what are these stones? You will say, these are the stones that we took from the middle of the Jordan to remind us of how God parted the Red Sea for the Jordan for us. You know, as a person, you should have milestones. If you don't have it, start from today. Have a note back. Oh, what God did this week, this day, this month, this year. Year is too long. Have it, right? I have something like that where I write where all God has done in healings and this kind of thing. Sometimes I read it before meetings, before a healing meeting, and I'm just stirred up like, God, oh God, oh, you're going to do it again. My heart is already stirred. Right? I have them. Keep them in your mind. Write them. Put them on the front line. Let them be everywhere. They act as reminders. Was it not you that was in this state and God delivered you? Write it down. Let it be clear. Make songs about it. Of your personal deliverances that God delivered you. You realize that you will not be struggling with faith. It was that you didn't pay attention to the goodness of God. I'm saying a lot tonight. I'm saying a lot tonight. Amen. Praise God. So have milestones, right? Of the goodness of God, right? It'll help you. Amen. So when your heart is bothered with many things, you can go back, right? All right. It says be careful for nothing, right? So what are the practical things you can do? I said have milestones. We'll come back to that, right? Number two, what does God say? But in everything, when there is anxiety, locate praying. I'll say it again for those that like quotable quotes. When you understand that you are anxious, don't talk it away. Enter prayer. Amen. Why? You are humble. Who is the humble man? The humble man is the one that does what the word says. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing? Amen. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. Supplicate. What's supplication? Talking to the Lord about it. Let your request be made known unto God. Amen. You know, people are getting better. People go through a lot of stuff. And sometimes you might just ask them, have you talked to God about it? So why are you complaining? You have God as supernatural, that is your Father. And this is such a big deal for you. You've not told him. Let me show you something that the Bible says. You know, you should learn to do this. It will aid your life a lot. The peace, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. You know that song? All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Remember, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. Maya Sondra Hikos. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Look at 1 Peter chapter 5. Learn this act as a Christian. Haya. Look at verse 7. I want to read from verse 6. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. How do you humble yourself? Because if you look at verse 6, there's a colon there. If you are an English speaker, you understand that a colon means I want to explain what I just said in a deeper way that you may understand. I want to continue with what I'm saying. What do I mean by humility? Look at verse 7. Casting. I want you to write it down. Casting all your cares upon him. Why? For he cares for you. You know, this is one of my favorite scriptures. This is the scripture that takes you away from worry, the country of worry, and puts you on the peninsula of peace. This is a peninsula far, far greater than the Negev. A peninsula far, far beautiful than the holidays of Hawaii. And the beautiful plains and the beachside, the country front of Dubai. There is a peninsula that exists in God. A peninsula where men dwell. It's a highway that we leave. Look at it there. Verse 7. Casting. This is humility. Humility. He's explaining humility. Humility. Who is the proud man? Everything's on his chest. He's anxious. Will God do this? Will God do that? Will God come true? Will this happen? Will that not? Even when things go bad, you say, one thing I know. Paul will say, I know whom I believed. I know he's able to keep that which I have committed to his trust. This man is in prison. Are you understanding? Meaning, when we're talking about casting all your cares, it has nothing to do with what you are facing. Nothing. Nothing. He said, how can a man be in prison and be writing rejoice? How can a man be writing? A man is doing ministry in prison. How can a man be instructing people outside and he's inside? There is a peninsula in God, my brother. There is a peninsula in God, my sister. Hey, glory to God. Look at it again. Humble yourself. Tell yourself. Say, Dial, humble yourself. Humble yourself. You worry too much. That's what God is saying. Calm down. Look at it. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Hey, yeah. Under whose hand? The mighty hand of God. So the man that casts his care is not stupid. The man that casts his care on the Lord understands that God has a mighty hand. The mighty hand that is always keeping him. He cannot fall. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him from all. Amen. It's the mighty hand. Mighty hand. Gibor. Mighty. The mighty hand of God. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. That, see, he will do it. What is your role? Humble. What is humble? Follow his word. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he would exalt you in due time. It's sure. It's God's word. It's in due time. Are you doing all that you should do? How you should do it? Following God's word? Leave the remaining. Tell yourself there is a due time. Don't act like you don't know these things. Amen. If you did not know, you look at it. So what do I do that shows that I am particularly humble in this particular perspective? You get me? Look at it. Verse 7. Casting all your care. That word care there is the Greek word merima. The things that get you concerned, the things that get you worried, the things that get you anxious, the things that don't make you sleep at night, the things that bothers you a lot, the things that doesn't make you pray, the things that just wants to make you feel like... Look at it there. He says, casting all your care upon him. Why? The first verse, the verse above says, mighty hand. But the more compelling fact is the fact that God cares for you. See, listen. Is in God's word. God has not said, God, do you care for me? Are you there? See, God did not promise you feelings. God promised you a fact. Right? God said he cares for you. Go about the whole world. Don't be apologetic. Write it everywhere. Know it for yourself. I am that man that God cares for. That's why I cast my cares on him. I don't worry like the world worries. I don't. He keeps me. I don't. It's God's responsibility to talk to me, lead me, guide me. Bro, he cares for me. He died for me. Do you get it? He died for me. He cares for me. Amen. Did you notice that Joseph and Mary were at home and there was a Herod that was planning to kill them? Did you notice that the Lord God sent angels to come and meet Mary and Moses and Joseph at home and say, take this baby tonight and go to Egypt? He cares for us. You know, people don't know this. Write it everywhere if you are struggling with it. God cares for me personally. Amen. It's a personal thing. Amen. It is a humble thing to say God cares for me. What a humble man. To know God cares for him. To expect that. Have you not read it? Romans 8, verse 28. Let me show you. Oh my God. Let me quickly try to round up this thing because it's about to make me start. Have you not seen this thing? Verse 28. Romans 8:28. Oh my God. I hope you have seen it. And we know. You see, there are some things you should know. If not, you are missing now. There are some things you should know. The factos fegiliate. This is the joy of the Christian. And we know. You know, I talk the word of God to myself. I'm happy by myself. And we know that all things work together. Can you live in worry lane with the word of truth? No, it's because you didn't open it. And we know. Do we know? We know that all things work together for good for them that love God. Who are them that love God? The Bible tells us in John 14:21, them that have believed the gospel. Them that love God, them who are called according to his purpose. He's talking about you. We were called, justified, glorified. Amen. So this is talking about you. Amen. I don't want to go to First Corinthians 6. Okay, First Peter 2. I'm already going everywhere now, and I didn't want to do this. Right, verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praise of Him who had called you. Are you seeing it? That we are called, amen, out of darkness into His marvelous light, amen. So He's talking about His people. We are back in Romans 8. And we know. Do you know? Are you sure? You know. Look at it again. And we know. All things work together for good. For them that love God, for them are called according to His purpose. According to His purpose, we know. For whom He did foreknow, He did predestinate. He conformed all of us into the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Look at verse 30. Moreover, whom He called. He's talking about us. He justified. Whom He justified, He glorified. That's why He said in verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Are you seeing this here? Shall tribulation or famine? In fact, look at verse 32. Look at verse 31. What shall we say about these things? What? If God be for us, who can be against us? We're talking about the confidence of the saints. We're talking about the things that take you away from the country of anxiety forever. What shall we say about these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He says this is how you should think. This should be your meditation lane. He that spared not His own Son, and delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him freely give us? Are you seeing it there? Verse 33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. Who is it that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Our Christ died. And yet, He's the one that is risen. Who is at the right hand of God? Who makes intercession for us? On these grounds, He says 35. What shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation? He didn't say tribulation will not come. He says even in tribulation, I understand that God loves me. And that's what keeps me. Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep to thy slaughter. Verse 37. Nay. Meaning it doesn't matter. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Where did I start from? The one that cares for us. Look at it again in 1 Peter 5 so we can conclude tonight. 1 Peter 5, verse 7. Casting all your cares. Leave it. God, oh, you hear this message. Oh, what a wonderful message. Okay, I'm not going to bother about it. Only for us to see you next week again. You're like this. When we go, do it. Leave it with the Lord. Amen. Leave it with the Lord. Trust the Lord. Cast your cares on Him. Amen. That's the secret to peace. Cast your cares on Him. He cares for you. He cares for you. See what He says. Let me say it this way in context. The devil has a foothold in your life when you live in worry and don't cast your cares on the Lord. Write it down. The devil just has a foothold in your life for nothing. Pastor Dyer, where did he write it? It's in the next verse. Verse 8. He said, be sober and vigilant. What is he talking about? Be sober and vigilant. It's coming from verse 7. Be sober and vigilant will be choose, ensure you cast your cares on the Lord as a way. This is the way we are humble. And as we are humble, we do not yield to the operations of darkness. Look at it. It says, be sober and vigilant, for the devil, the adversary, the devil, is as a roaring lion, walking about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom you resist. How do you resist Him? With casting your cares on the Lord, knowing that He cares for you. He says, stop that. I refuse to worry. I refuse to bother. God cares for me. You know how the devil operates in the believer? Through thoughts. Through thoughts. The same thing he did with Adam and Eve. Do you think you are going to? Will God ever come true? Yeah. Just say, shut up. God cares for me. It's not about what I see. The resurrection is His proof of His care for me. Amen. You hear what I'm saying? Don't be anxious. Rather, cast your cares on the Lord. He cares for you. Let us conclude tonight. We need to conclude tonight. Philippians chapter 4. I hope you're getting something tonight. Amen. Philippians chapter 4. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer. So we pray. Stay in prayer. In prayer. Stay in prayer. In prayer, make your requests. In prayer, assure your heart of the fact that God cares for you. Oh, Father, I give you praise. Thank you because you cared for me. Thank you for this. Thank you for that. Glory to God. You hear me always. Okay, yeah? You assure your heart. Amen. What? Look at it there. In everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. You see that? Thanksgiving. I already said it before now. Thanksgiving. Father, I give you praise. Father, I thank you. Blessed be your name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I praise you for your word. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The devil and the situation, he always looks like you should be worrying. You should be worrying. Oh, Father, we give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise. With thanksgiving. Garnish garrison with thanksgiving. It, what will happen to you? It says, number one, you'll notice something. It's called the peace of God. So the peace of God will flow to your mind. Where is the peace of God? The peace of God is in your spirit. When you give yourself to prayer and thanksgiving, the peace of God flows up to your mind. Yeah? And your life. That's what he's saying. The peace of God, which passes all human understanding, shall keep. You see there? Garrison your heart and mind. So you're going to find the peace of God operational in your heart. In your mind, where was the peace of God all this while? The Bible tells us that the peace of God, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace is in the Spirit. But when you yield to prayer, yield to supplication, yield to thanksgiving, what happens? Peace. The peace of God garrisons your heart. Why? What God is after in your heart is peace. Because where the heart has found peace, the heart will find the way to go. You hear me? That's why the Bible tells us that the devil always wants to bring distraction to the heart of a man. For if the man will find peace, the man will find the way to go. Amen. The peace of God that surpasses all human understanding will guard the heart and mind. Look at verse 8. It now says, finally, my brethren. So when we pray, right, and thank God, he says, now, the thing to do is keep your mind in the right place. He says, finally, my brethren. No, this one is not what God will do for you. This one is the one that you do for yourself. Keeping the peace in the mind. It says there that, finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true. Remember I told you, have milestones. The gospel, what God has done in Christ. True. What we just read. What shall we say about these things? If God be for us, cast your cares. He cares for you. All of the whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely. You know people engage and abuse their hearts thinking on ungodly, unlovely things. God can leave us. We don't know what God will do. We don't even know how God does. No, think about that. Think about the word, that lovely. The things he's done, lovely. Whatever things are of a good report. Do you know what was the problem of the people, the spies, in the book of Numbers, who came into the camp of Israel? The Bible says they brought a bad report. They were children in whom there is no faith, except Joshua and Caleb. Joshua and Caleb saw the guys. They saw the guys that were giants there. And went back to the camp and said, we can take them. The other spies came and said, we are grasshoppers in their eyes. So are we in our eyes. These bones will eat us. The children of Anakai, they will beat. Everybody started crying. The bad report affected their hearts. So we are to give good reports. What are good reports? Good reports are statements of faith based on the resurrection. He will never leave us nor forsake us. He's always with us. He keeps us. He guides us. All of that. You get all of that kind of stuff, right? What about things are lovely? Whatsoever is of a good report. If anything is of virtue, beautiful, excellent, anything that is worthy of praise, think on these things. So, whatever is worthy of praise, oh, glory to God, I remember. So, all those things is done. Bring them. Bring them to your forefront. How God delivered you, rescued you, helped you, kept you, has always been there, will never leave you. Worthy of praise. Think on these things. So that's how to keep your heart. Don't overestimate your heart. That's how to keep your heart. Finally, verse 9. Those things that you have both learned, so you have to have a teacher. That you have received, you have to have a teacher. You have heard, you have to have a teacher. and you have seen, there should be somebody that is teaching you that you can see, you can observe. He says, all of those things, do. The things you have heard, seen, do. And the God of peace will be with you. Are you seeing the steps God gives us for the believer? So there is not one that overestimates himself. Your heart is not loyal to you. But if you follow these steps, happy are ye. Till you come your way again next time. I hope you have been blessed. I've enjoyed myself teaching you tonight. God bless you and have a wonderful time setting your affections on the Lord. Amen.